You want to be a fan of something, Jay? Don't check the news.
You know what? Good advice. Don't like anything.
Yes.
Especially not the Horror for the Holidays podcast.
No. We're one day away from a horrible scandal, I'm sure.
All right. We ready to do this thing?
I guess.
We're ready to
stuff some stockings.
Overstuff some stockings as we rank all 13 Halloween movies.
Oh, I suppose.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Yeah, this is Horror for the Holidays stocking stuffer. I'm Jay Logsdon. That's Jeff Searcy.
Yeah, it's me.
We're doing the thing. We're doing the internet thing. We're gonna make a tier list of the Halloween movies.
Yes, we are. And you know why this one's gonna blow up? Because we're the definitive critics. What we say goes.
We're starting at the bottom, right?
Sure.
I think that's the way to do it, is to start at the bottom.
Generally, I think how they do it.
Listeners, real fast, there is a, I will say there's kind of a, Jeff, I think you put it best. There's kind of a soft middle where there's a chunk of movies where you're like, these are all kind of interchangeable.
You know what? I will say this about the Halloween franchise. There's some movies where you pretty much have to have an opinion, and there's some that, you know, however you rank it, I could be like, yeah, I could see that.
Right off the bat, so we'll kind of count down. We'll kind of talk about the movies as they pop up, or why we put them where they are. There is a category for did not watch. I have one of those. I'm not sure if you have any did not watches.
No, I watched them all.
Okay,
I tortured myself for this, Jay.
a lot of this was going off of memory, and just kind of my general feelings about the movies. So, like, potentially would it have been smarter for us to do this when the spooktacular, when we had finished watching every single Halloween movie for the spooktacular and then did this?
Yes.
Potentially that would have been the smart move, but that's not what we did. We're just doing this right now. For me, this is just kind of like my general thoughts on the movies and like what I remember about them and stuff like that.
All right, what's your number 13 then?
So my number 13 is, I did not watch it, is Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. I've never seen that one.
Oh Jay, you've not seen the horrors.
I mean, don't worry, part of the reason is because my number 12 is Rob Zombie's Halloween, but we can get there. But if you want to do your number 13,
my number 13 is Halloween Resurrection.
Ooh.
This one almost killed the franchise, by the way. It took them, what, 16 years to make another one after this? I mean, there's some moments in this movie you could like, for sure. But it pretty much takes the end of H2O and immediately just makes it nothing.
Throws it all away.
Yes, it's like, which we'll see as a theme in this list as we go along, is setting up really cool things and then doing absolutely nothing with them is a Halloween franchise staple. But honestly, it has the famous Busta Rhymes kung fu fighting scene. But honestly, this feels like, if I had to say, out of all the Halloween movies, this one feels the most generic, I think.
There are, when I get to it, maybe I'll talk about it a little more. Halloween Resurrection does, for me, kind of have that, There are things I really like about it, and there are things where you're just kind of like, oh, if we had done more with that and less with these other things, like, I think you would have had a better movie. And we can talk more about, I can talk more about that when I get to it on my list.
Yes.
My number 12, one that I've actually seen, is Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yes.
I believe John Carpenter said it best. You gave a backstory to a movie that didn't need a backstory and kind of ruined the whole thing.
You know, Jay,
John Carpenter phrased it.
That'll be a theme in my number 12. Halloween Ends from 2022. what if you made a Halloween movie, but it wasn't about Michael Myers? Oh, wait, they tried that already and everybody hated it. Except this one is about Michael Myers halfway through. But they also set up another guy for some reason and do an entire origin story for him just to have him unceremoniously disposed of in the end.
Yeah, my boy Derek. Derek Corey Cunningham. Derek.
I mean, this one, I gotta say, even though I don't like the Rob Zombie Halloweens, at least they had, like, you know, a vision behind him of what he was trying to do. It was a bad vision, but they had a vision. This was supposed to be the capstone of a trilogy with two movies that were pretty well liked, and they basically threw away all that in the end, made half the movie about another guy, and then made Michael, like, the weakest and most pathetic he's ever been in one of his own movies. It was supposed to be a big send-off to a triumphant new trilogy of movies. It's just, it's the biggest fumble, I think. Basically, you could watch, if you wanted to, you could watch the last 20 minutes of Halloween Ends and get everything you need to know, like, lore-wise, out of the movie, which is never a good sign.
we should snake draft this, so you should do the next one.
Oh, okay. So my number 11?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. My number 11 is Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Okay.
Although it's not as bad as I remember, because I remembered it being incredibly bad. I was like, oh, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 is going to be at the bottom of the list. But no, it wasn't. I mean, it was more interesting than I thought because it's got Brad Dourif. I mean, come on. He's good in it.
He's great in everything.
I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing for the Halloween franchise, but I like the idea of Laurie actually being broken by the events of Halloween 1. And, like, she's doing everything she can to avoid facing Michael again, which I thought is kind of what they ended up going with in the new Halloween trilogy. But they made it so, you know, she's constantly prepping and hasn't lived her life at all. She basically paused it at the events of Halloween.
Yep.
But I thought it was an interesting take on it, if nothing else. And it continued forward from Rob Zombie's Halloween and actually carried over the plot elements and stuff. Picks up literally right at the end. So I was like, you know what? At least it gets credit for that.
Listeners, I'm pretty sure people who've listened to the podcast, our spooktacular episodes know my number 11's Halloween 2.
Oh,
a movie that's a bad one. Another movie that didn't need to exist.
You know, you're gonna laugh, Jay.
John Carpenter, on writing the screenplay, mainly dealt with a lot of beers sitting in front of a typewriter saying, "What the fuck am I doing? I don't know."
This doesn't need to happen. This is not a movie that needs to be made.
This is not a movie that ever needed to be made. And yet it got made. John Carpenter hated every minute of it.
And yet people love it.
No, I think that's what baffles me the most. It is so incredibly boring.
Yes.
It does absolutely nothing other than do the whole Laurie and Michael are related. And just drags and drags and drags, as much like Halloween Kills, Laurie spends the entire time in a hospital doing nothing.
Yes. See, it's like poetry, Jay. It rhymes.
and two movies later, when I get to that on the list, that was the thing that they had made John Carpenter say, you know what? I don't want to be involved with these Halloweens anymore.
Well, you know what, Jay? He was right.
Speaking of Halloween Kills, Halloween Kills is my number 10. And you know what? I'm just going to say it right now. Halloween Ends is my number 9. If Halloween Kills had ended with the way Halloween Ends ended.
Yeah.
And then Halloween Ends had been that opening, like, 15 minutes stretched across the entire movie with, like, the curse that Michael, like, cursed the soil of Haddonfield, and no Halloween is safe, even though Michael is dead.
Yes.
And it had fulfilled that promise. I think these two movies would be fucking higher up on my list.
They'd be near the top of the list for sure. If that's what they had actually done.
And instead you've got Evil Dies Tonight.
Yeah.
You bring back, Paul Rudd's character, and then don't cast Paul Rudd as him. What, Billy? Is that the name of the kid?
Yeah.
Just generally, other than the Silver Shamrock masks making an appearance, and what's his name for Mad TV. Yeah, Halloween Kills is not very good. And really sucked because coming out of Halloween 2018, I was really excited for it.
Well, Jay, my number 10 was Halloween 2. Isn't that a crazy coincidence? I put one line. Boring! What a fucking snooze fest of a movie. And like Jay already talked about, one that the creator didn't even want to make, but was forced to. And then completely wrote off the franchise because he's like, well, this is what they're going to want me to do forever. And he was right.
Yep. Tried to do something different the next two movies.
Nope.
The Akkads were like, no, thank you. And he went, fine, you guys, this is your fucking problem now.
Yep. And all right. It became a problem.
What's your number 9?
Oh, my number 9, Jay. It might surprise you. No, it won't. It's Rob Zombie's Halloween. I mean, come on. Rob Zombie's Halloween. It's not Michael Myers. It's like a different guy. He's doing his own thing. It's kind of like something we talked about off the air a while ago. It's kind of like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. It's like Christian Bale is the Nolan Batman, and he's literally the Nolan Batman because he does shit that Batman normally wouldn't do. Rob Zombie's Michael Myers is Rob Zombie's Michael Myers.
Yep. No, I think that's an excellent way to put it. Like I said, my number 9 is Halloween Ends. I'm mostly carried by memory. Especially, like I said, remembering that opening 15 minutes, which I thought was fantastic. And I was like, boy, I hope the rest of the movie is like this. And it isn't. But then also carried by... in my memory, carried briefly by one brief appearance by a beloved friend, I guess not of the podcast, but just of people in general, Darcy the Mail Girl, as she plays the DJ in the radio, or the secretary in the radio station, or whatever.
Yes.
My number 8 was Halloween Resurrection. Mm. I really, really enjoyed the live stream aspect. The reality show aspect of it. I thought that was really cool. It did add like the weird like Michael eating rats in the sewers.
Yeah.
And
we'll get back to that, don't worry.
And all of that weird stuff and like felt very much like the Rob Zombie Halloween, like the this was the high chair and they had to strap him in and you're unsure if like this was on purpose, or because, like, by all accounts, Michael Hatt was a relatively normal child who just broke one day and murdered his sister. Mm-hmm. But to do all these things where it's like implied that like Michael eats rats and was a terrible child who like had to be restrained into his high chair and shit like that, which I still don't know to this day if that was set up by the production company of the reality show or was actually like supposed to be canon for the thing. I just remember being like, yeah, this kind of sucks. I didn't like kind of the changes it made. I didn't like killing Jamie Lee Curtis and ruining H2O right off the bat. But I really did enjoy like the streaming live aspect of it, with the somewhat rudimentary internet. Reminded me a lot of MTV's Fear, which is a TV show I remembered liking a lot as a kid. So, what's your number? What, 8, 9?
My number, or what am I on?
8, I believe.
Okay, my number 8 is Halloween Kills, and I put Evil Dies Tonight.
Evil Dies Tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty much everything we already talked about. I mean, it's got some good kills in it. It has an idea that, like we said, if it had been continued on, might have been a good idea if they had flip-flopped some pieces of ends and kills together and made them into a more cohesive plot. It would have been cool, but Kills is just not that good. I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of people who like it, but I just didn't find it that good.
And then the weird, like, no, Michael's not a monster. He's not some supernatural force.
Except he is.
Yep. No, he's just a normal guy. And then just overpowers like a mob of people by like after getting his ass kicked, just overpowers a mob of people and murders all of them, like ripping their jaws apart and shit with his bare hands. Like that was just okay. So then what was the whole fucking point of the Michael's a normal dude thing from the beginning?
No idea.
No, hated that. Absolutely hated that. Number what?
my number seven, or is it your turn?
No, it would be, so it loops back to you, so it would be, yeah, your number seven.
My number seven. Let me scroll. I had number seven, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Boo.
Well, you know, as much as I love seeing all the weird shit packed into one movie, I will say, for positives, because this is a middle-of-the-pack movie, so we said these could pretty much be slotted in anywhere.
Yes, no, absolutely.
The atmosphere is really good. I think this is one of the best Haddonfields we get, where it actually feels like fall in the Midwest. Michael is, like, super brutal in this one. Lots of good kills. George P. Wilbur, I think, is playing him in this one. And he's got, like, I think the best physicality, other than maybe, like, the guy who does it for Rob Zombie. Because, I mean, that guy's massive.
Yeah, that guy's huge.
But, I mean, then you get one of Jay's favorite things, I know, the Thorn Rune Curse. But you also get, depending on the cut of the movie you watch, genetic experiments that created Michael. Paul Rudd staring at things.
Paul Rudd having magic powers.
Weird mind powers. I mean, you got Donald Pleasance wandering around like he's wondering. Much like we talked about in our last episode, Dolph Lundgren wondering what movie he's in. Donald Pleasance is wondering what movie he's in.
Did he die shortly after Halloween 6?
I mean, there is a
R.I.P.
There are parts of a good Halloween movie in here. And honestly, I think some of the franchise's best Michael stuff is in this one. But overall, kind of a mixed bag.
Have you seen the producer's cut?
No.
Okay. The producer's cut, I think, does make it better.
Better.
And it's one of those where it's like, I feel like if you watch the producer's cut, you rank 6 a little higher than you would normally.
Okay.
It adds in a lot of the stuff that just got left on a lot of the confusing, weird stuff that, like, just kind of doesn't get answered, even though I think there are still confusing, weird things that don't get answered, even as you...
Well, I was going to say, there's no way you'd be able to cut out all of that. You don't have a movie left.
Conveniently, my number seven is Halloween 5.
Uh-huh.
A movie that I don't remember well. Which I will be watching it again this October.
Spoiler,
for the Spooktacular.
It's my next one.
But I remember the Michael mask being terrible. I remember the farm scene. That is the thing that sticks with me the most. And then I think about the bringing in the Jamie's adopted sister in Halloween 4, and you're supposed to connect with these two characters.
Completely throws all that away.
And then, yeah, just immediately kill her off and introduce the director's girlfriend, who's playing, like, her sister's best friend, but all of a sudden, she's just the coolest person ever, and everyone loves this brunette girl with curly hair that pops. Isn't she so quirky? Oh, she's great. We're just supposed to forget that, like, Jamie's sister gets murdered, like, 20 minutes into the movie.
Also establishes the fact that Dr. Loomis is willing to throw a child into traffic to catch Michael now. So I think it might be the whole you take care too long looking at monsters thing.
what's your number seven?
My number seven was Halloween 5.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Yes. We're close. We're close.
So what's your number?
We're touching tips.
Number. What's your number six?
Number six is Halloween H2O.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, I think people kind of overlook it a little bit. Yes, it does ignore 4 through 6, but parts of 6 are worth ignoring. Pretty much all of 5 could be ignored. And, I mean, they basically threw out everything important from part 4 and part 5. So, I mean, skipping over them really doesn't seem like that big a deal. It brings back Lori. We got your Jamie Lee Curtis. She's really good in it, even though it's been a long time since she played the character. I mean, the whole, what's the thing, where she spins around with the axe and is like, come and get me.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I remember what you're talking about. Yeah.
But yes, there's a big downside, though. I think coming out so soon after Scream, this feels very Scream Halloween.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and some bad mask CGI for some reason. Some scenes the mask is like CGI'd, but with like a bad overlay for some. I'm like, you guys couldn't just get a mask?
Isn't that the one also where like sometimes the mask looks blue, yes. maybe. And
yeah,
then, like,
because it's got the blue tape all over it so they can layer CGI effects on top of it.
And then also, like, sometimes you just see, like, essentially, like, Michael's eyes are part of the mask, or they're, like, you get kind of the goofy eye scenes.
But, I mean, should have been, I think, the canon ending for the character.
Agreed.
Laurie defeats him. That's just it. And then you could have moved on with something else, you know, like the anthology it was always intended to be. But instead, we got Resurrection.
My number six is Halloween 4. Man, that opening is great. That's yes. that's some of the best opening. Some great kills, some really great moments. You get Michael's light teleportation powers.
Yep.
You get kind of the beginning of the Thorn Rune. Mm-hmm. All that great stuff. But also, this was the moment where John Carpenter pitched multiple different ideas. Like, Loomis and Michael are dead. So, like, you could have Michael, but he's a ghost that possesses people and, like, ruins Haddonfield that way, a la what we were even talking about potentially for Halloween Ends. And the people went, nope, we don't want that. No, you're bringing back Michael and Loomis. That's what everybody wants, is Michael and Loomis.
They're both back.
And they're back, and they're better than ever. but yeah, that's, I mean, we yelled and screamed about it, forever on our episode about it for
Season
the Spectacular.
Of the Witch, yes.
How dare you? No, not no. Season of the Witch. Return no, of Michael
we
Myers.
We talked about them wasting Season of the Witch completely.
Yes, absolutely. yeah, that was my number six.
Well, guess what my number five is? Halloween 4.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, it's good. It's a good Halloween. Yes. Did it need to be made? No. Did it throw away all the potential momentum of an anthology series coming off Halloween 3? Yes. Did it ultimately destroy the franchise? Probably. But no, it's like I said, it's a fun enough time. It's got some good Michael stuff in it. If they had actually stuck with the ending where the little girl had become Michael, like had become cursed by his spirit. Because,
yeah, they throw that all away from Halloween 5, too. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So could have been great. Ended up mediocre.
What's this, number five?
Yep.
My number five is Halloween 2018. Mm. I remember loving that movie. I remember seeing it in theaters, thinking it was awesome. Sitting there being like, you know what? These next two movies are going to be amazing. this is really going to like change everything that Halloween means. You know, in a different world, this might be like number four, maybe even number three on my list. Mm. But it just so happens that all the potential that was built in this movie is almost immediately thrown away in the next one. But like the Laurie as a prepper thing I is fantastic. I love all those scenes. I love the big showdown in her house. I think that stuff's awesome. The police officer who gets his head decapitated and mm-hmm. he kind of gets turned into a pumpkin, I think, or a jack-o'-lantern, I think that scene's great. The scene where the kind of nerdy curly haired kid like gets trapped in the backyard of the house and only the motion sensor of the light is illuminating the thing as Michael slowly gets closer to him.
Yeah,
I think that scene fucking rules. Lots of great stuff in this movie. Just, you know, once again, all kind of wasted for
no particular reason.
Literally what, like a year later, 2 years later.
Yep.
In Halloween Kills. So that was my number five. Did you do your number five?
Yep.
Okay, so my number four is H2O. Feels very if I think you could make a anthology of the Halloween movie if you wanted to do the anthology universe of Halloween 3. I think H2O is as close to John Carpenter's idea for what he wanted the return of Michael Myers and Laurie Strode to be, a la Halloween 2, where Laurie's in a high-rise apartment and Michael's stalking her through that.
Yep.
I think this is kind of as close as we ever got to that.
Yep.
As an idea. And so for that, I like that's why I kind of put it at number four. Like you said, Jamie Lee Curtis is fantastic in it. A great return for her. I think a great return for the Michael Myers character and would have been a perfect ending for the series.
Indeed.
And threw away a lot of the garbage from yes. 4, 5, and 6.
Indeed.
Number four, Jeff.
Number four. Hold on. Sorry, have I gone too many times? Feel like I'm missing a movie. I did Halloween 4 already. did H2O, did Rob Zombie, did Halloween 2, did Halloween Kills, did Halloween 2 Rob Zombie version, did Halloween Ends, did The Curse of Michael Myers, did 5, did Resurrection. Yeah, I think I went too many times, so you can go.
Oh, all right. My number 3 is Halloween 6, Curse of Michael Myers. Not a good movie. Tommy Doyle, that's Paul Rudd's character's name. I think I said Billy or something like that. Tommy Doyle.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd as Tommy Doyle's fantastic. I love like the him kind of being the Laurie Strode prepper character. Mm-hmm. He got the house across the street from the Myers place and he watches it all the time.
Yep.
This movie, there was like one summer when I was in college, I was home from college, and every night on like Showtime or Stars, they played either Halloween 6 or Nightmare on Elm Street 2. And so for one summer, most nights, I was either watching Halloween 6 or Nightmare on Elm Street 2. And while Nightmare on Elm Street 2, it's hard to forget that movie. It's memorable. It's memorable. It would be one of those things where I think I watched Halloween 6 the whole way through, and then like a couple days went by. And I was like, oh, hey, they're showing another Halloween movie. So I switched over and watched it. And about halfway through, I went, oh, I think I've seen this movie, bro. I think I just watched this movie. And then, like, a couple days later, I would, like, be scrolling around. And I'm like, oh, they're showing that Halloween movie again. I'm going to watch that Halloween movie again. And it would be the same thing with Nightmare on Elm Street 2, where I'm like, ah, you know what? I'll watch the gayest movie ever made again. Why not? Halloween 6 fucking rules. I love the scene with the like weird shock jock who's like gonna be streaming live from Haddonfield, the little girl who like finds the dead guy in the tree, mm-hmm. and she's like, mommy, it's raining, and she's covered in blood. I love that scene. This scene, like the big party at Haddonfield University campus where the shock jock is, feels like a Halloween party. Like it's when we watch these other movies and we're like, oh, a Halloween party, this is what a Halloween party feels like in my head, like, mm-hmm. because of this movie. Like, this movie has just shaped so many of my opinions on the Halloween universe.
Yes. I can see why you'd rank it that highly.
All right. So your number three.
My number 3 is Halloween 3. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Halloween 3. But since they ultimately did nothing with the concept, I had to put it at number 3. Because it has no bearing on anything else, basically, in the entire franchise. But I think if they had gone with the direction that John Carpenter intended, it would have ended up being a healthier, longer-lived franchise. If it had become an anthology. And I'm not...
You could just put out a different Halloween, a different movie called Halloween every year.
Yes. It literally be endless options. Endless options for renewal, Jay. Endless. You could, I mean, and there's nothing saying you couldn't have brought back Michael eventually, too. Maybe they do another couple Michael movies somewhere down the line. But to make it all Michael, I mean, and that's why I have my number 1 and number 2 at what they are, because that is ultimately what they decided is. The franchise is Michael. Features the greatest villain known to America, the Irish.
Also, great score. John Carpenter's score, once again.
Yes.
What's your number 2?
My number 2 is Halloween 2018. I mean, it's a direct sequel to the best movie in the franchise, the original, Halloween 1978. It literally picks up right where that movie left off, except way later, and everybody's old. But guess what? Even though Michael's old, he's still coming to kill people.
It's the old man Logan yes. of the Halloween universe.
Literally. I think it came out 1 year after that, too, by the way. Old man Michael. There you go.
My number 2 is John Carpenter's Halloween 1978. I mean, it's the movie that launched the whole franchise. Yeah. An iconic movie. Let's be honest, maybe a little slow at times, but still scary as hell. I mean, still has some great scares, still has some great moments. A young Jamie Lee Curtis, John Carpenter, probably I don't think his first film, but like just kind of
close
to it. You get all these things that like are promptly disregarded by later movies.
Yeah.
Because you know, once again, Michael's supposed to just be a little boy. You get the iconic score. Basically, you know, but all the things that people truly love from the Halloween franchise mostly just come from this movie.
Yes. And literally, the whole thing at the end, when he disappears, and it's like, it pans through the neighborhood, and it's like, Michael could be anywhere.
And that's the thing. You don't even know if it's Michael. In the credits, he is just the shape.
Yes, it's like, you could just literally be anything in that mask at that point.
Because doesn't, Laurie even says, like, was it the boogeyman or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And like, because the whole movie's been setting up for like, you know, Tommy Doyle's worried that the boogeyman's coming to get him. And the whole movie's kind of been setting up that, oh, there is a boogeyman. Yes. Like,
I mean, yeah, Donald Pleasance pretty much confirms that. Yes, it is the boogeyman. But yeah, no, I love how you can make such a great movie and then everybody just shits on it endlessly, iterates over and over again, explains all the things that should have never been explained.
No, it's honestly, it's pretty close to a perfect movie. Even the thing people love to make fun of, Michael learning to drive a car, like, they don't explain it away, but like, the person who's like, he doesn't know how to drive, and then Loomis goes, he was very well doing it last night. Like, yep. Fantastic. Like, acknowledging, like, even kind of the silliness of the movie. Like, and listeners, you knew this was coming. My number one's Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
We all
knew it. It's my favorite Halloween movie. It's so fucking good. You've got Tom Atkins running around being the coolest anyone's ever been. Sorry, I take that back, Dolph Lundgren. You're not the coolest anyone's ever been because Tom Atkins
exists. Well, now, Tom Atkins is the coolest anyone's ever been in a horror movie.
True. Dolph Lundgren's the coolest anyone's ever been in an action buddy cop alien sci-fi movie.
From the 80s.
But yeah, fucking Tom Atkins running around fighting Stonehenge imbued masks that from an Irish warlock kind of who is gonna turn every child wearing a mask's head into bugs.
Exactly.
What a movie.
Exactly.
No notes. There's androids, there's all sorts of crazy shit. This movie's great.
Yes, and they also steal from it for the Michael Myers Thorn Rune shit later on. It's all Irish.
Yep.
It's druids.
Yep, fucking druids. This is where the druids got started.
They tried this plan, didn't work. They're like, all right, why don't we curse Michael instead?
Plus, the iconic Halloween 3, Silver Shamrock, happy, happy Halloween. I almost put that above. Hearing that, for me, is more... No, you're not more iconic, but is almost as iconic as the like,
definitely
that it's like one in 1A. Like those two things are right next to each other.
Silver Shamrock.
fucking love Halloween 3. Everyone knows I love Halloween 3. It's my favorite Halloween.
As soon as you suggested this being our first tier list, I was like, well, we know what it's going to be number one for Jay.
All right, Jeff, your idea. It's no surprise.
Halloween number one. It launched a franchise, and it launched a genre, much to many people's chagrin, I think, because of all the garbage that has been pumped into it over the years. But you got to trace it mostly back to this one.
I think even Siskel and Ebert. I think Siskel and Ebert both fucking loved the first Halloween movie.
Yes, I mean, it's pretty much, if there is a movie that, in the slasher genre, that's universally loved, I think it is the original Halloween. Everybody acknowledges all the great stuff it did, all the things it influenced. Yes, there were technically slashers before, but this is what launched the slasher craze and established a lot of the tropes that would be used in slasher movies.
And I mean, people even like take the things that the tropes that are created in this movie and then like retroactively go back to like other, to the previous ones. And it's like, no, this was where all these tropes came from.
If you're ranking a Halloween movie and you don't rank this one at least in your top three, I don't know what the hell you're doing, because it's a genre defining film.
Also, once again, you get the iconic score. You get the every Halloween movie except for Halloween 3 does some iteration of this score, and there's a reason why. It's because it's iconic. Like,
I'd say it's one of the only Halloween movies that's actually scary as well.
Agreed. Like, yeah, Halloween 3 is kind of goofy. This one is legitimately terrifying. Like, love it.
Yeah. What if a guy in a mask just showed up and started killing people in your neighborhood?
I think that's why I'm really excited for the Halloween video game that's supposed to come out this September, October. Mm. Is like, it feels more like Halloween 1 than it feels like any of the other Halloween movies. Maybe along the lines of like being the most scary, this one in like 2018, like, I think are probably the two most scary Halloween movies.
I agree.
So there it is, listeners. If you have any complaints with our list, you know where to shove them.
Exactly.
But send us an email. Send us your ranking of the Halloween movies.
Indeed.
Horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places. We are at Horror4Holidays. That's Horror, the number 4 Holidays.
YouTube.com/Horror4Holidays for all your backup needs. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell for notifications. Catch us on all the podcatchers. We're on all of them. 5 stars, 0 stars if you could. So we know you're a real sicko who made it through 2 fat guys ranking all the Halloween movies. And yes, if you send us your list, we'll critique it mercilessly.
We could do that as like a follow-up stocking stuff for next time. Like if anyone sends in
reports from the audience.
Yep. We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. This episode is not very Christmassy, but we try to stay holiday adjacent. Yes. And this one at least did that. Go check them out. There's all sorts of great podcasts out there.
We're podding. They pod now.
Rose Such a Clatter. Holly Jolly Xmasu. Our friend Jerry D over at Totally Rad Christmas. Scrooge. All sorts of good stuff. Go check them out.
Jay and Jeff will return in Avengers Doomsday.
But before we return for that, we will return next week with another Christmas horror movie. And this time, I know, Jeff, that the autumn breeze is starting to blow. And we're getting close to spooktacular time, but we're not there yet. But the next time, we're a bloodthirsty Santa wreaks havoc on the set of an eccentric adult film director's latest production.
Oh, fuck yeah.
In Triple Xmas.
You know what I like. Oh, baby, you know what I like. Big bobber.
This will have, I'm pretty sure this will have everything Jeff was missing from some of our other recent movies. I believe streaming for free on YouTube.
Indeed.
Triple Xmas next week. Thanks for listening.
Spoilers for Avengers Doomsday. Here we go, Jay. You ready for this? Most of the X-Men are going to die because they're all old as shit. They're going to get rid of them for new X-Men.
Yeah, we got to have the new universe's X-Men.
Captain America is going to turn out to be evil, and that's the only reason they're bringing him back. He's going to pretend like he's good, and then when he gets hold of that hammer, he's going to turn evil. Either that or
I could see that.
And maybe he won't be explicitly evil, but I bet he's going to be like, I see Doom's greater good or whatever, because he's trying to stop these convergences from happening or whatever, so I'm going to help him. Even though it's going to break Thor's heart, because apparently they're best buddies now.
Yeah, even though...
I mean, they were kind of friends before, yeah, but like, not really.
They felt more like colleagues than they were ever friends.
I'd say Hulk and Thor were friends. That was established.
Yep.
Where's Hulk? Who knows? Probably not in this. He's in Spider-Man. So there's our Avengers Doomsday spoilers. I read the script. You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.